From New York City, the world-famous Comedy Cellar presents Live from America Podcast. Live from America Podcast. With Noam Dorman and Hatem Gabber. Live from America Podcast. Where the top experts in the world and the best comics in the nation get together weekly to discuss today's issues as they cover news, culture, politics, comedy, and more with an equal part of knowledge and comedy. And now, here are your hosts, Hatem Gabber and Noam Dorman. There we go.
Hey, welcome to Live from America Podcast. This is Hatem alongside me, Noam Dorman, the owner of the legendary Comedy Cellar. Good to see you, Noam, again.
Hi, Hatem.
For a while. My favorite comedian and friend, Kate Herman, is here.
Hello.
Who helped me win the league for fantasy football. Didn't really help me, but, you know, I would say one out of two.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And our guest of honor is Lauren King. Lauren is an international speaker, bringing awareness to a lot of topics, specifically and especially human trafficking. And she just got back from speaking in Africa. And you should keep up an eye for her. She's doing great. And her TEDx talk is coming soon. So we'll have her Instagram link down in the description later. You should follow her because she does a great work. Welcome to the show, Lauren. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I was put through the ringer this week. It wasn't COVID, but it definitely was not great. Some kind of like flu bronchitis or something. I don't know, but I'm here and I'm better. So that's what counts.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Where are you located now?
I'm in New York.
Oh, you're back in New York. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was your Africa trip?
Africa. With COVID. So everyone kept telling me that Africa was going to be life-changing. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm super excited. But I should have taken that more seriously when people said that, especially because they kept saying it over and over again, because it was life-changing, number one, but it was also super humbling at the same time. And the biggest thing for me that I took away was that there's other humans on the planet and other places that have so much less than we have here. And they're way happier than we are here. And
yeah. Where did you go exactly in Africa? Because I'm from Africa. Yeah. Where?
Kenya.
Kenya. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We say Kenya.
Kenya?
You sound like you were correcting her.
Well, you're saying wrong. It's Kenya. I'm African. So.
We're saying wrong. It's Kenya?
Kenya.
Kenya?
No, but in English, you said it right. I'm correcting Noam. I'm not correcting you.
But what do you mean in English as opposed to what? African?
No, supposed to do it the right way, not English.
I'm sure you know. What are they speaking in Kenya? Is it Swahili or is that showing? Is that ignorant?
It's Swahili.
Swahili. So I'm sure you say it just like somebody who speaks Swahili. Anyway, go ahead.
Swahili is my first language.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now. Where you guys? Go ahead.
God, we're off to a great start.
Oh, yeah. No, welcome to the show. Noam is just gonna challenge.
Really, what it is, Lauren, and I know we're getting a topic here, but much more important. But he gets corrected all the time on the horrible way he pronounces English. So that was just like, so you just saw him like eager to.
That's not true.
To do to others what people do to him all the time.
That is so not true.
Lashing out at the world by correcting your, you know. But
I wasn't correcting her. I was correcting you. And
you keep Hatem honest.
Yes. You see, the thing is, like, as Noam said,
bullies
like,
are bullied. That's go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very important and dark topic. And a lot of times we do that in the show where we talk about something very, very serious. But, you know, we like to also, you know, have some.
Oh, my God. Okay. I found a website here. How to pronounce Kenya in Swahili. Can you hear it?
Kenya.
No, I can't hear it.
Oh. Are you hearing that?
Wait, let me look up the how to pronounce Kenya in Kuwait. All right. So much for that. Go ahead.
You know, he goes to this one website that it's built by Trump. and he likes it. And
The one that always makes him right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I know that website very well.
Yeah, yeah. He can't stand being wrong. So human trafficking. So let's talk about facts, first of all. You know, a lot of times people, you know, human trafficking is not only sex. It's more actually labor, you know, human traffic as labor, you know. But so first, Lauren, what make you very passionate about this topic? And you decide, I know you speak about different things, but this is one of your main topics. So what made you want to be a speaker about that topic specifically?
Well, I mean, just to dive right into it, and one thing that you'll learn about me is I'm very transparent, and I'm very comfortable talking about things that can make other humans very uncomfortable, but, you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We still need to talk about it. But to dive right into that, I was sexually assaulted for the first time when I was 7. And it happened again when I was 21, both by extended family members. And no one actually knew that happened until a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago, because like many people that go through this kind of stuff, it's you feel like shame and that, you know, you're damaged goods. And so, you know, you kind of keep it inside. And so about 5 years ago, so shortly after this happened the second time, I ran across a story of a young girl. And it didn't sit well with me. It actually like really, really screwed with my head in terms of I couldn't let it go and I couldn't just sit there and not do anything about it. But she was around 12 years old and she was raped by 56 different men in 12 hours.
Oh.
And her trafficker actually made $60,000 off of her in those 12 hours. And I'm not sure if you know, but typically around the ages of 12 to 14, you become a non-profitable age because typically prefer, and by they, I mean traffickers and the humans that are raping these kids, they prefer children that are around like 5 to 7 or 7 to 10. So what happens sometimes, and actually it's more typical than anything, is when you become like that 12, 14, 16 age, they either abandon you or they kill you. And in her scenario, her trafficker abandoned her back home to her parents. And I think it was a couple of weeks. It was very shortly after she was sent back home, she committed suicide. And the reason for that is because she felt like, you know, no man was ever going to love her because even her trafficker abandoned her. So, you know, you can only imagine that kind of thought process, especially when you're that young. And, you know, her parents in the interview said that they got her back, but they got her back damaged. And one, it made me want to just light these people on fire almost, you know, I know how that sounds, but it was the truth. But also I knew that I had a personal story that is not even close to the magnitude of hers, but it was enough of something that's happened to me personally that it would become real in front of people when I'm talking to them, that even something like what happened to me, that's typically where it starts. And then it gets even worse to where that person realizes, oh, I could actually make money off of sexually assaulting or raping this person. Or, you know, like they get that fuel from the power, and that's how it goes into other forms of trafficking. And so catching it where it starts and raising awareness to where it starts and where it can go is my goal. So
where does it start?
The what?
Where does it start?
It starts with either, it's typically, honestly, it's usually a relative. For me, it was an extended family member, but, and both times actually, two different people, but both were extended family members. But it typically starts with some sort of family member, either, you know, like learning that they can make money off of offering their human that they're about to traffic, offering them to people that they know, or something of that nature.
I have so many questions. This is so upsetting.
without asking, you know, so much about your personal.
No, you can ask.
No, I know, but okay. But just describe an average story or a typical story of how somebody is gets into this. Are these usually American children, or are these usually people from other countries?
So human trafficking has been reported in all 50 states. And the reason that it's so prevalent,
I believe that Texas and Florida are leading, right?
Texas and Florida are leading. There was a huge case that just happened in Virginia. The police force was actually in on it. The police chief himself was the one primarily responsible for it.
So then you say there 5 to 7 is one of the most popular categories, right?
They like them to be very young.
Okay, so let's say a 7-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have a 7-year-old girl and you're going to traffic her for intercourse or for what is the?
So sex trafficking is actually one of the smaller percentages of human trafficking. Most people associate human trafficking directly with sex trafficking because, unfortunately, in America, we're not educated on the subject, which is why I'm here. But it's so the entire human trafficking industry is a $150 billion industry. And that goes into debt bondage, forced marriage, bonded labor, child soldiers, things of that nature. So a good example of getting you to wrap your head around what that looks like is traffickers will go after your hopes and your dreams and your weak points. So if you're hurting for money or something of that nature, they'll promise you all of this money if you come do X, Y, and Z for them, like some type of labor or even organ donation, and they'll require your documents, all of them, for you to be paid. And then you'll either start doing the work or you'll donate the organ and they'll never give you those documents back.
But just to stick with, I want to get to all of it, just to stick with the sex trafficking, which is what you described, you know, that started you on this by hearing this horrible story about this girl. So I'm just trying to, a young girl, prepubescent girl, is it trafficked for intercourse? Are people having intercourse with these little girls, or is it some other sexual? Okay. And so you, Jesus. And then you have a girl and you're evil and you want to traffic her. And then how would you know where to bring her to start the process of making money of it? These underground websites, are they like, because obviously as soon as you broach that with somebody, if you're not sure the answer is yes, they're going to call the cops. Like, you know, so you have to be very sure of who you're even sharing this with on day one. So how does that happen?
Yeah. So actually that's how the Virginia case was happening. So the reason that the police force was involved in it and the police chief himself was because he was tipping off the traffickers for free services. So if they were going to have a sting operation to try and bring down this trafficking ring, the police chief would tip off the lead trafficker so that they wouldn't get caught, or they'd tell them to pull their ads off of Craigslist or whatever site that they're using to promote these services, quote unquote, that they're offering. And in exchange for him keeping them under wraps, he would get free services from the humans that they were trafficking.
And so, I know also that
these are pedophiles. Like this, either
technically, yes, they're pedophiles.
I know also in the Middle East and the far East more, it's very big to get a maid in the age of 5 to 7. They like to get a lot of young. And I know that was a big, back when I was growing up, that was a big issue there, right? That they like to buy maids, you know, to do the housekeeping, and they like them very young, from age 5 to 7. And then when they grow up, they sell them to traffickers and stuff like that.
Correct. And, yeah, you know, just to put this in perspective for you, 1 in 4 victims of it's really modern day slavery is what human trafficking is. 1 in 4 of them are children.
Yeah.
Kate, children 18 or under.
Kate, you're a professional model as well. And I know that with, this is one of the things that they try to get girls from is through the modeling dream.
Yes, exactly. They prey on your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations, and they promise you the world. And they're very convincing. And the reason they're very convincing is traffickers don't look like what you think in your head a trafficker would look like. We're talking about
like my head, they look like Norm.
Matt Gates.
They're good at it, and they're charming, and they look like your everyday Prince Charming, and it's actually not just men. More women are arrested for trafficking than men.
Yeah.
And
the reason for that is
think about it. Like when you think of a woman, and no, I don't know how you think about it, but when you
what's her name? Maxwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ghislaine.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you think about a woman, they're very nurturing. They're very soft. They usually are very good at presenting themselves in a way that is non-threatening. And that's actually called grooming. So grooming is one of the first steps of being trafficked. It's where I prepare you for a task. I instill your trust in me, like I would never hurt you. And then I kidnap you or something of that nature, and I start trafficking you. And that's exactly what she would do to these girls. She would promise these hopes and aspirations and money and power. And that's how it worked.
Kate, have you seen any of this during your modeling career when you're starting, especially when you're like younger?
I didn't. I was always pretty protected and like always worked with really reputable agencies. I mean, there was like a time in Greece where I was like out of my mind and like an idiot 19-year-old. And I'm shocked I didn't get like, you know, put into some sort of market. But like, not real. Like, I never really like saw it. I do know that it definitely happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I do know that there's like places, especially out of like, you know, like poor countries that will like, you know.
And even a lot of that like Russian region, you know, Eastern European, like a lot of very young girls come in and they're like very, very young. And they'd be like, oh, we're gonna sign with a modeling agency that somebody, you know, they don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is, and especially like with something like that, I can see how easy it is to manipulate, you know, a 12-year-old or whatever into thinking that something's okay. I mean, the modeling industry in and of itself is really bizarre, and there's like its own like messed up things within it that, you know, you kind of get conditioned to accept things that in normal life you wouldn't, you know, even like with like things like nudity or like whatever that, you know. And I, again, like I was always lucky enough to like have good people around me, but there's definitely times where like I would be uncomfortable, and luckily I had people behind me so I could say it and like, you know, get out of it. But like not everybody has either that support or just the nerve to stick up for themselves, you know? And so I've been really lucky, but you know, I know like plenty of girls, like it's not like trafficking, but you know, they were convinced to do something that they later really regret.
Yeah, that's another thing. Do the girls know that they are being trafficked, you know, or do you think it's just the style?
Yeah, is there like a Stockholm kind of syndrome thing that
happens? It's exactly that. It's exactly that. And the reason is because they typically go after, and it's boys and girls. So there's just as many cases on both sides. But again, it's that society view of sex trafficking only happens to girls. And no, it's unfortunately, it's quite literally a fetish. And they do have fetishes for boys as well. But the reason that they do is they go after boys and girls that have a lack of support, or they're in poverty, or something of that nature. And then once you get them in and they're trafficked, then the fear of getting in trouble starts happening. The fear of getting killed if you talk starts happening. The fear of like, if they're not a citizen here and they were brought over here, they're scared of being deported, or they just don't have access to communication. But the other part of it, like you said, Kate, is like that Stockholm syndrome. they start to fall in love with their captor and their trafficker. And that's what happened to the little girl that committed suicide, the one that, you know, really prompted me to want to get into this and just do something, if not just talk about it or bring awareness. But she, I mean, even he wouldn't love her and he abandoned her. So how is anyone else that didn't do all these things to her going to love her? It's very
much. I feel back to Norm's question. I feel like it's more happened internationally than nationally. Like it happens here, obviously, but I think it's a bigger scale internationally. Is that true?
Not necessarily, no. And the reason that people have that mentality is because we don't talk about it. We're starting to talk about it more. And it's actually been rampant for decades here in the United States. But as Americans, we're like, oh, it's not happening here. It'll never happen here. It'll never happen to me. You know, we have a great country. And the reason that it is so easily happening here is because people don't know what to look for. They don't think it exists here. And on top of that, just like the Virginia case, our police officers are in on it here. And it's like this.
I mean, not all of them, obviously.
No, of course not. Yeah. No, not all of them. No. But in some of the scenarios, the people that are supposed to keep these kids safe are not. But primarily, it's just because we're uneducated in the fact that it's happening here and that it actually does exist here. And it's really, really bad here. It's happening right under our nose.
Mm-hmm. I just watched an episode of something where like a girl got this job from like a family friend. And then all of a sudden she was like, yeah, like sold into like sex trafficking. And like it happened so like quickly that she didn't even realize like what was happening until like she was like locked in a room and like only allowed to like eat or shower after she slept with like 100 dudes.
Yes, that's exactly how it happens, unfortunately. And usually, like you just said, it's too late. And they're really, really good at it is what makes it so convincing. They make you trust them and they come off as someone that would never hurt you or anything like that. And they look good, to be honest with you. They're very, very charming type of people. Like think like model status or like something of that nature. They're very, very convincing.
Is their motivation, would you say, like money, or is it like a real like psychological like issue? I mean, I think that anybody who's like gonna sell a human, like be involved, has like an issue, but like is it like money or is it just like something like really like fucked up in their brain?
Honestly, I mean, I definitely believe in nurture and nature. I really mm-hmm. do. And I think that it could honestly be both. I mm-hmm. think that some people are born the way that they are, and the nurture part exacerbates it and makes it worse. But then I also think that, you know, they weren't born that way and they were kind of born into that life. And that's when, you know, the whole Darwinism takes over and, you know, you have to survive. And if you don't do this, then your mother or father or your aunt or your uncle or whoever it is going to kill you if you don't do as you were born into or take on the family business or something like that. But I definitely think that there's a nurture and a nature part that comes to it. And then I think the money just makes it even easier.
Mm-hmm. The traffickers, how often do they actually participate in the sexual act? Like, are they pedophiles as well? Or are they just, it's a more of a business for them?
In my opinion, it's case by case because mm-hmm. some of them very much are involved and they're usually the one that starts it. So as I was saying earlier, kind of like, you know, they learn, oh, I could actually make money off of this. So I no longer have to be the quote unquote bad guy. And I can make other men and women or get other men and women to do the dirty work for me. And I just make the money. But
How big of a business is this? Like, is there like a number on like.
It's around 40 million. And every 30 seconds, a child is trafficked. And it's a $150 billion industry.
Damn.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then in terms of labor trafficking and things like that, It's commonly, it's 12 to 18 hours a day for little to usually no pay is what happens on the labor side of it. But it's really bad.
Norm, you said you had a lot of questions. Then you ask one and then you, I know it's getting hard to onto you, that topic.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You guys go ahead.
But I was surprised that it falls under the Homeland Security umbrella.
Yes. Why did that surprise you though?
I felt more it should be like the FBI or CIA kind of.
They're involved in it as well.
Like it's a major crime.
It is.
It's not immigration and Homeland Security. It happens here just like international, not it's- border thing. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not trying to, I understand they're trying to stop them from coming in, but there's also in coming out. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Why is not FBI or CIA?
Honestly, I would like the same question answered.
Yeah.
And I know that they are involved with getting things under control and they are trying themselves, like the CIA, the FBI, things of that nature. I know that they're involved in some capacity. I just don't think that it's publicized is what it is. Because in order for them to get involved in these kind of things, it would defeat the whole purpose if the whole world knew about it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, but in terms of Homeland Security, I 100% agree with you. And the fact that, you know, like it's being in the country and out of the country and from another country to this country. And actually what happens the most,
yeah.
The humans are trafficked from other countries and brought to the United States.
Yeah.
The opposite, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the sexual part of it, the labor is probably in China and you know, maybe, you know, South Asia and Africa, obviously for soldiers and.
It's there yeah. just as much as it's here, though. That's the problem.
The what? I don't know if labor, child labor is as much here. As
maybe you just don't know about it.
That exactly, Kate. It's you don't know about it. And it's right under your nose. Like, think about the Kate, like when you go get your nails done
mm-hmm.
and the nail technician. Those are that's what it looks like here. That's what labor trafficking looks like here. There was actually a video that was on TikTok I saw just a little bit ago, but there's, you know, like for COVID now, I know you guys don't get your nails done, but.
I do.
Hey, oh, hey.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
No, don't be ashamed of that. More men need to go take care of themselves. Come on, it's self-care.
No, I go but for other services.
Well, now we're veering into weird things happen.
No, I know. We're not going to get into that.
But actually, I know what you're saying. And massages is also like you're saying, like the nail thing.
Yes. And again, they're promised all of these things and this money and their documents are taken away from them and they don't get them back. So they can't get out of it. They have no proof that they're even a citizen anymore.
Yeah.
So they just have to keep showing up and keep doing the job and never get paid for it. But in the nail technician scenario, what happened was, and my point with it was post-COVID, we have like these barriers now between you and the nail technician so that, you know, things don't disperse or whatever. And when you get your nails done, if you get like acrylic or any type of, you know, fake nail put on your nails, there's like a dust that emits from the drill. And there was so much dust on this like clear barrier that she had written help on that barrier.
Whoa.
Oh.
Being trafficked.
Yeah.
In the
you know, I saw also that video on TikTok, and I think this is one of the only things that I mean, I like TikTok, but I mean, I think it's destroying a lot of people. But one of the things they had this sign to do if you are being kidnapped,
oh, yeah.
And this girl did it. Did you guys see that video? It was amazing because these are videos that are popular between, you know, teenage and younger girls. And they tell you, they tell them in the video, if you get kidnapped, just do that sign with your hands, whatever it is. Don't follow my sign. I'm not doing it right. You know?
What is it? Do you know?
So it is I wish I could share my screen, but it is.
You can share your screen, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to show it to you. It's a universal sign for for trafficking.
Yeah. So they said they show it to they teach it to little girls.
It looked like it,
something
it
like that. Yeah. And there was this girl walking in the mall, and she did it to another person. And
So it is. So I'm going to do it for you because it's just pulling it up. But it's this, and then trap them. That's the universal distress. So it's this and trap them.
Okay, you don't need it, Kate. It's fine.
I'm going to use it all now.
You use it in dates.
No, but it's good to know, because like if somebody did it to me before today, I would just be like, oh, hey.
Yeah, but I think that video was awesome of that little girl doing it in the mall and somebody helped her, like another female, you know? Mm-hmm. She know, and it's funny because most of the people don't even know about that, you know?
Right. Exactly. I fully feel like
No,
you're fine.
I don't mean to cut you off.
You're Go ahead.
That better be good, Kate, since you cut it off.
Don't put her under pressure.
Well, no, because I was thinking about the modeling thing, and like actually, yeah, like they do it, but they mask it in these ways, right? Because like, if you go somewhere and you have to stay in a model apartment, right? Like they charge you like insane things, right? Like 1,700 euros like a month, but you're sharing it with like 12 girls, whatever. And then like, you know, you book jobs and they like put other fees on it or whatever. And basically like by the time you leave, like very rarely are you like making any real money, you know? So it's just like, I see like how like, yeah, it's like they just mask it under these like other things.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened in that Virginia case. The police officer that ended up reporting them all in his interview, he said that the chief of the task force said that, you know, if he uttered the words human trafficking one more time, or that if he didn't, then all of the professional things that he made a report of him for tattletaling essentially, or being the whistleblower, that as long as he didn't say those words again, then he wouldn't do anything. But it goes into that mentality of, you know, if you don't say it's human trafficking, then it's not human trafficking, but it quite literally is. There's no way to dance around that. It's trafficking.
Right.
Yeah.
Wild.
So in your awareness, what will your goal would be? Like what you want to bring aware, you want to bring aware to the whole scenario, but it also can, you can break it up to little things, signs of how it happened, or what do you do if you're into it, or how'd you get out? Like, what would be, you know, your number one awareness you want to bring?
For me, it's what to look for. So when I do my presentations, I give very visual presentations.
Okay.
So I show what burn marks look like. I show what certain types of trauma to, so 50% of head and neck injuries come from sexual assault or some type of physical abuse. It doesn't have to be sexual, just abuse in general. 50% of it is to the head and neck, with trauma to the head being the number one cause of death. And I'm in the dental industry. So I'm a dental hygienist, but I'm also in sales, and I'm a public speaker for my industry and things of that nature. And as people in dentistry, our specialty is the head and neck. And we see these humans twice a year, unless there's something going on that they need to be seen more, but we see them more than any other doctor or physician ever. And so for me, and what I say to my industry when I'm speaking is, this is our specialty. We're their advocates. And we spend the most time with them in the direct source of where it's happening. So I show images of what, so there's something called petechiae, and essentially it looks like bruising on the roof of the mouth near the soft palate, so near your uvula. And that can only happen in a child from forced oral sex. There's no other way that it would appear where it does and how it looks.
Wow.
And you know, if it's in an adult, okay, you and your husband, or you and whoever your partner is, you're having a good time. But in a six-year-old, that should not be there, is what I point out. So I show what it looks like. I show what certain type of abuse to the head that can only be from blunt, direct force looks like, not them falling on the ground. Children under four don't typically bruise And if you think about it, it's because they're usually being held or in a crib 24/7.
Right.
So if they're around two or three, or basically it's kids that crawl is the how they phrase it. They don't bruise because they're always being cared for. So if they have bruises to the head and neck, you need to start doing other assessments. And I always tell anyone I'm talking to, never assume. I need you to assess.
Yeah. So can I say something about the jaw thing? I know I'm gonna burn in hell, but I think it's also a problem if a married couple go and she doesn't have any signs of
sex.
You'll be like, you're not doing something.
That's a different assessment. I would then prompt you to, you know, ask other questions like, do you need tips?
yeah, you'll be like, something is not going well here.
I don't think, you know, like, are you guys happy? Is this not your thing? No.
I don't see any, like, do you guys talk about this as like, oh, she has nothing. They gotta get nothing.
Nothing's going on there. The mall is open and the lights are on, but nobody's shopping in there for sure.
That's crazy.
What does like recovery look like? Like, are there programs in place for things like that?
Yes. And that was primarily, you know, like once this, you know, for me, my hope and dream would be to have some type of nonprofit get off the ground for recovery specifically, Kate, because what I experienced when I heard that story for the very first time about the girl that had been raped over 56 times was I wanted to spend like some amount of time with her before she committed suicide to have like spoken to her and just been like, you know, like there's other kids out there that are going through the same thing. You know, like just make it real for her and get her to understand that there's plenty of humans out there that will love you, even though this stuff has been done to you. And it doesn't make you any less of a girl than you are or whatever. I mean, I have no idea what must have been going through her head, but all I wanted to do was talk to her and just be there for her and love her and do anything that I could have done. And for me, I think that in my opinion, the hardest part is getting back into the real world after something like that happens to you. Because like I said, there's a lot of shame that comes with it. And since I've been speaking about this stuff and in front of lots of people, I've actually had women come up to me and ask that I tell their story because they can't. And even just telling me was a big step for them. And so, you know, I think it's just the recovery is it's really hard. Obviously, physically going through it is fucking hell. But excuse my French, but I think we're past that now. You know, I think the recovery is what can make or break.
But how do you differentiate, you know, make a difference between sexual assault and human trafficking? These both are big problems, but feels like some people will come into you like with the sexual assault cases and you want to focus also because you don't want to be distracted in different positions and different things and you want to focus in human trafficking because a lot of these cases could be just
thought cases. Sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's exploitation. Exploitation is what differentiates sexual assault from being trafficked. So but my point of view is even sexual assault is a part of the fight in awareness because it can start there. And typically it does start there. So one is, you know, obviously on a different severity than the other, but in my opinion, they're both equally as important because of what it can lead to.
Yeah.
So what can regular people do to help?
I think regular people are more heroes than they believe that they are. It's just, I tell people all the time, you don't know what you don't know. Now that you do, my question is, what are you going to do to fix it? And I'm here to help you know what to look for, know what numbers to call if you are suspecting that someone is being trafficked. Or, you know, when you get past the age of 18, it becomes their decision if they want to report it, because you can actually do more harm than good if you're dealing with an adult. So you know, you have to take different precautions, but for quote unquote regular people, It's knowing the signs and knowing the human trafficking hotline number. But just us talking, I would say it's, we've already talked about the national, or really it's worldwide, everybody knows about it, of the signal for help. Mm-hmm. So knowing stuff like that, knowing what physical abuse looks like, and also knowing that they may think that I'm trying to think of a best way to describe this, but men and women of authority will probably make these children uncomfortable because they've been taught that they're the bad guys and that only their trafficker is the good guy. They won't make direct eye contact with you usually because they're inferior. If it's, you know, regular out on the street, it's usually they're very submissive to whoever they're with. They're definitely in direct control of their trafficker. And it's not always noticeable, but now that you've started hearing about it, which is going to prompt you to probably do more research on it, you're going to start seeing things that you don't normally see, like seeing what looks like a 16 or 18 year old girl that's out wasted with a significantly older male or older female, and they look like they're being submitted, or they look like they're being submissive to them, things like that. But primarily,
what about parents, what they should look for?
What's the what?
Parents, what about parents?
So for parents, it's usually it's like an extended family member. Like in my case, it was on one side of my family and it was on the other side of my family. And honestly, if I'm being honest with you, there's no way my parents would have ever known. I wasn't actually raped. It was verbal and somewhat physical assault. So I showed no signs, no symptoms. And I had such big shame in my head that it happened to me and that whole damaged goods kind of thing that I concealed it very well so that no one could see it. But if the child or your child is being trafficked, it's typically there's going to be physical signs. So repeated bruising, there can be cuts on the corners of the mouth, again, from forced oral sex and the opening not being as big. To oral hygiene and their physical hygiene is going to decline. It's more head and neck, like I said, 50%. And that's, I mean, it's only half, but it's more obvious to the head and neck. It's not as easy to hide those injuries unless, you know, you're in the winter or something like that. They can cover it with a scarf or a hat, but injuries to the face, I would definitely be hyper, hyper aware of.
Is there like a number of like, how many victims there are in America, like now, like, is there like an estimate of like how many kids are being trafficked?
Damn, you can't Google it.
I have an expert. Why would I Google it if I have a human being to ask?
Like we're in a time where you can just get the answer. Of course. I'm just fucking with you.
So it's 40 million around the world. Mm-hmm. And the largest percentage of it is forced labor. Mm-hmm. It's in the 20th percentile is sex trafficking. Here in the US, it's 1,500,000, specifically here in the US.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I mean, the last thing for me is like social media. I think social media plays a big role in getting to know and meeting like, you know, children, maybe like you said, like a lot of times you see signs of like people walking the street, but sometimes they don't even need to walk in the street. They can just become, because everybody, all the little kids want to be like popular and have like a million fans and all that, or follow somebody popular, and you can see how many people can, you know, what's your take in social media? Do you think, like, I don't know if you're a parent, but if you were, would you, like, what age should boys and girls start being in social media, and what kind of social media should be in and all that?
I don't have children. So, you know, I'm speaking ill-experienced here, and, you know, some people would think it's not my place, but for me, I don't think that children should be on social media until they are old enough, meaning an adult. So in America, 18, to go through the consequences of what social media can bring, and their adult consequences. So in my mind, if you're going to let someone under the age of 18 be on social media, it needs to be heavily under a microscope, almost monitored.
Norm, what's your policies with your kids for that, if you want to share?
Social media policies?
Yeah. Are they, first of all, are they allowed in all social media, like TikTok, Instagram, all of them, or no? Because I know some parents...
My daughter watches TikTok videos. They don't have any computer access, very, very limited, outside our eyes. And they haven't shown that much interest in like Instagram and Facebook stuff yet. So I haven't had to really cross that bridge. It's way easier said than done to keep them off, because, you know, when all their friends are doing it, and that's how their friends socialize, and that's how their friends interact.
Yeah.
It's tough to tell them no. So I don't think I'm going to tell them no. For some reason, I'm more concerned about my daughter than my boys. But I think I just have to find a way to really monitor what she's doing. There are apps that allow you to see exactly what's going on.
I think we should.
It's daunting. Look, it's daunting, and you know, it's similar to drugs in the sense that a parent who thinks that they're going to prevent their kids from having access to drugs in high school is kidding themselves. So yeah. I'm just gonna forbid my kid to have drugs until she's 18. Oh, that's easy, right?
Right.
So it's a lot more difficult problem than that, and it requires, I think, a lot of defensive driving of child rearing to ground these kids, to hopefully give them some wisdom, to keep them open with you, and then you hope that you're lucky.
Yeah,
you know, because some of these kids are just different than other kids. Their personality, they're born with.
And you're absolutely right. You cannot stop them. You cannot stop.
What?
You're absolutely right. You cannot stop kids by saying like, "Oh, I don't understand why there's no Instagram for 17 and under, and Instagram. There's no reason for everybody to be at the same platform."
Because anybody can pose as any age they want. It doesn't. It's
no, but you can. You know how you get verified? It's the same thing. You get verified with your ID. Or something.
Right.
There's no way to keep these predators away.
But yes, you're also right. Both of you are right, in my opinion, but
Yeah, but I think we'll have limit, you know, like if someone, you know, go out of, it's kind of like the Catch the Predator series. You guys remember that show? Catch a Predator? Yeah.
No, if I've heard of that one.
You never heard of that one?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you have to. It's in YouTube now because it's not here. But they used to like have like they set up guys and, you know, that they talk to underage agent, and then they tell them to come and meet them. It's pretty funny too.
There's a show called Undercover Underage on Discovery Plus where like it's a whole team, and like girl like talks to the predators, and then, you know, they collect evidence to turn over to law enforcement.
But it's always, you know, it's always like funny when that, you know, they tell them like, oh yeah, and they have a kid playing a kid, you know, and like, hey, come on in and all that, and then the reporter come in, Chris Anderson is like,
this whole subject has always really disturbed me, for, you know, aside from the obvious reasons that it's so disturbing, but that if you're logical about it, it really makes you fear most the people in professions that you need to trust most vis-a-vis your children. And that's always scared the hell out of me.
Absolutely.
Because if you have this awful demon of an urge that these pedophiles do, I think there is an affliction that these people have, because, you know, it's like we can all understand, everybody enjoys money. So you can understand the motivation of somebody who steals, even though you would maybe never steal yourself, but you get it like, oh yeah, he wanted money. I get him wanting money. But if you're not a pedophile, you're like, it's hard to even understand that motivate. Like who would ever want to do such thing so horrible to a five-year-old girl, right? But yes, they do. They do. And that's the way they're wired.
Yes.
And if you're wired that way, what do I want to do for a living? Well, I mean, the only way I'm ever going to be able to get access to these young children is take a job around them.
Right.
Yeah.
And
And I think he said
that's the goddamn truth of it.
Yeah,
it
I think he said something.
We're kidding ourselves if we don't realize that.
I think he said something in another show a long time ago before Norm. I don't know if you think I think it was brilliant. You said, and correct me, maybe I'm gonna phrase it wrong, but you said like people like pedophile and stuff like that, they can't get help because they cannot go to a doctor, tell them I'm a pedophile, what can I do?
Right.
I think I didn't say that. You can go to a therapist and tell them that. I believe you can tell them that.
Or something like that. Like they can't get help. Can you really? I don't know, yeah, but I think
there's,
like a lot
there's
of people,
like whole support groups for it.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to really? You can go to a psychiatrist and tell them
like Pedophile Anonymous kind of thing.
You have to. I mean, you can't tell them. I believe you can't tell them you're about to commit a crime. You have to be careful what you tell them with regard to anything you tell them.
I'm not talking about myself.
But you can definitely tell them about that kind of.
Don't say you cannot tell them. I'm not talking about me.
But I mean, and this we've talked about this in other contexts. This, I mean, you imagine that people who are really enjoy violence would be drawn to law enforcement.
Yeah,
you would just imagine that, and it's a terrible reality. It's a terrible thing to think about. But you have to, and you also don't want to. Like, I know cops. I don't want to paint them with a broad brush. God forbid, and you know, because I know cops and they're good people. But we have to think truthfully about things if we want to tackle problems.
Yeah,
exactly. Just because we don't talk about it, just because we don't think about it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and it's just actually going to make it worse.
That's right.
So we have to get comfortable talking about things that make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, do you think that the last couple of years, there've been more awareness now than?
Yes. So the fact that we're hearing about it more, because people say, well, I feel like this didn't exist in the 60s and the 70s. Like, we never heard about this kind of stuff. And the flip side of that is it doesn't mean that it wasn't happening. It just means we weren't making any headway and we didn't have social media and news coverage was different back then. And so now the fact that we're hearing about it way, 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 way more means that we are bringing awareness, which is, in my opinion, the biggest fight of it all. Because, like I said, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna.
There's a couple of episodes of Law and Order too. So.
Yeah.
No, but I always think seriously that Law and Order, like, they do tackle real problems because it's
they do.
It's based on most of the time real stories, and I think it's a very popular show, and it brings. A lot of awareness because you know there's a market like they targeted the market here in New York at some point where there's a bunch of people, there was judges and all, everybody, and they have that crave and they can do it, you know, so that's how they found them. But
100%. I want to give out the National Human Trafficking Hotline for sure, and there's also something that everyone can text. So the trafficking number is 1-888-373-7888. And then for texting purposes, it's you text BEFREE, BEFREE, free to 233-733.
So can I ask you what happened when you called the number?
It goes through a there's going to be a series of questions that are asked.
Can you give me the number again?
Yes, it's 1-888-373-7888, and then for texting, it's BEFREE to 233-733.
Hello, you have reached the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
Why are you doing this?
I want to start because I called the suicide hotline before and I wasn't happy with the way it was done. I think I covered in another episode before. It was a long wait, long wait.
Well, they seem to know what they're doing.
There was some happy music. Like, I wanted to kill myself for waiting.
But, oh no!
But it's So that's why I wanna make sure I wanted to go. Maybe I'm gonna do it after the show. But you know, because I'm serious. Like, when you call the suicide hotline, there's a long way. First of all, it was a long wait. Like, if you think for a moment that you needed help, you know what I'm saying, and you waited that long, you're gonna change your mind. You know. So this is one of the things. Yes, it's great to have a number, but you know what? The service should be just as good as if I'm calling 1-800-SEX. Somebody's going to pick up right away. Hey, what can I do for you? You know, like, it have to be, the service needs to be, see, if somebody, especially on human trafficking, they don't have a minute to wait. somebody's around them. Somebody's going to jump in. So somebody need to pick up, you know? So that's my point. That's why I was trying to make that experiment that Norm ruined it.
911.
Yeah.
Oh, 911 always. Yeah, I guess. But, you know, it's like, hello, sir. Where are you calling from? It's just like there's got to be more sense of urgency. Yeah. All right. Well, I hope we shed some light on that very important issue. Lauren, thank you so much for being here and all that. If you want to share your information, how people can find you, where you're going to talk, and if people can help.
Have you been to the Comedy Cellar? You're in New York City?
Okay. Don't beat my door down, but no, I have not yet. And there's no excuse for it. I need to go. I've lived here a year now. I need to come.
Yeah, hot time. Invite her to the Comedy Cellar. So I guess maybe once Omicron dissipates a little bit. But although it seems to be, right? It seems to really be dropping like a stone.
I'm done with Omicron.
Yeah, it's just pretty, it's everywhere.
Can I ask you a personal question a little bit? Yeah. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. But it's like you're very simple, but you seem like very, very cool and funny, but you're tackling a very serious question. Situation as well. Do you get that a lot? It's like, you don't look like, yeah. I know you try to put serious faces when you're like probably talking.
Yes. One of my mentors, he introduced me in Africa before I got on stage to give my human trafficking course. And that was one of the things he said is, I'm so used to seeing Lauren in such a bright light. And because I also do motivational and inspirational speaking as well.
Yeah.
And so he said, it's really hard to see her do this and be in this light. And then another mentor put it in. He said, but I can't think of a better missionary to do it. And I think that there needs to be light in such a dark room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is difficult to talk about sometimes. And I have to be very vulnerable, you know, with my own choice to do it, of course, you know, and tell my story. And that means people see me in a different light. But I think even if I can help one person, and I know that every time I get on a stage, someone in that audience needs to hear what I have to say, I'm just going to keep up there and keep doing it, no matter what light I'm seen in.
Is there a good, you know, we used to do, prior to COVID, we were doing one event a week in the cellar for charity. We haven't started up again. But hopefully we will, but these get back to normal. But is there a good charity? Is there a best charity that deals with this stuff, or is this not the kind of thing which is really charity works for? I don't know.
There is. I wonder what the I feel like there's one here in New York specifically, but I don't want to misspeak. One second. There's several of them, which is a good thing. But there's one specifically, and I just want to get it right.
I guess it will all be about funding speakers to schools and stuff like that. Because I know a friend of mine, she does that, but in a different, not for sexual assault, but for more of other purposes. And she get paid through charity to go to schools and talk to little kids about stuff like that. So maybe that will be something. Yes.
So that's something that I've started to do as well, to go to college, universities, and high schools and give that awareness course that I've made. But the one in New York that I was talking about, it's the New York State Anti-Trafficking Coalition. They are specifically in New York. Okay. There's several of them, which is obviously a very good thing. But
and you can always pay me and I'll go on the streets and keep an eye if you want.
Exactly. Put your super clubs. Cape on.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, do you want to share your information where people can find you, website, Instagram, anything?
Yeah, of course. So the best way to find me and communicate with me is through Instagram. And the handle is Lauren the Activist. And it's actually Loren, which I learned is the masculine spelling. It's not the one for girls, but Lauren the Activist on Instagram.
I'll have the link in the description. And Kate, do you want to put your information?
Yeah, I'm Scratch the Cat on Instagram. I had no idea I was like part of human trafficking.
You were human trafficked before. Norm, do you want to share any?
No, it's so horrifying, and you know, your mind wanders to just how defective the human race is in certain ways. It's amazing. We also accomplish such great things as a species, but my God, there's just such darkness in human nature. It's like, I guess like COVID has its variants, you know, we have our variants and some of those variants are really bad.
It's insane.
And they're not curable. New pedophiles are born every day and always will be. It's never a problem that's ever going to go away. That's really one of the things that's so daunting and upsetting about it. Anyway.
Yeah. But talking about it, like in this beautiful, popular show will make a difference. So one more and we're going to continue the conversation, Lori, at the Comedy Cellar.
One person. If you can help one person, that's big.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to continue this conversation, Lauren, at the Comedy Cellar soon. And guys, thank you very much for being here. Norm, can you hang up for a minute? Yes. And guys, thank you so much for being here. And I'll see you soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Bye. Thank you, Lauren.
See ya. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.